This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Prime Time here on this Tuesday evening as we continue to count down the days to football. Hall of Fame game, Matt, on Thursday night. Carson Beck will make his Cardinals debut. Kenny Pickett starting for the Carolina Panthers. Quick update from our game of the night, Matt. Top of the fourth inning, two outs. Javier Assad trying to get out of a little bit of a pickle as a hard hit ball to right field, but nothing doing. Seiya Suzuki will make the play. To the bottom of the fourth we go at Wrigley. 1-1 between the Cubs and the Dodgers. Assad has given up one hit. Scooble, two hits. All right, let's talk a little more college football with one of our favorites. And just like Jeff Sherman, last hour, he has an open as well.
Where are the lines changing? And where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Trading manager for DraftKings Sportsbook, our good friend Matt Grill, joins us courtesy of our progressive guest line. Matt was quoted in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide talking about his power ratings. And we've talked about it a bunch. But real quickly, Matt, have you changed any of your power ratings so far this offseason as you've done a little bit more due diligence? And where do you stand right now with your top five?
Hey, what's up, guys? A couple weeks away now. But, Tim, I got to say, coming out of the break, I was a little disappointed not to hear a World Series of Poker update. Probably the most exciting thing going on right now. We're at the final table live. That's what I'm watching. From seven players down to six, one eliminated. But, flip on ESPN. Watch that. But yeah, let's go back to football in terms of the power ratings. I've been kind of going through another run through of all the teams. Phil Steele's been out for about a month. So, of course, that's just great to gather some more information out there. So, yeah, I've been going through making a couple more tweaks. Of course, we're getting now, which is exciting, some news about every day that's out of these the fall camps with who's looking good, some starting QB races, some injuries. So, let's talk about the local team, though, UNLV. This is a team during the offseason that I've been slowly raising my rating just about every time I look at them. I like what I see a little bit more and more, and we're kind of seeing it in the week one odds there and week zero. They're playing Memphis here at home, and that's a game we opened three a couple months ago, now up to 5.5. So a lot of people kind of high in the Rebels. Really love Dan Mullen. Love what these guys are doing. He just has a program the last 4 years, but of course, bringing in Jackson Arnold should be a good replacement for Anthony Calandria. So this is a team now. They don't have to go through Boise anymore with them leaving for the new Pac-12. So maybe the Rebs can finally pull it off and win a conference championship this year.
Jackson Arnold, quarterback transfer from Oklahoma. Anthony Calandria went to Nebraska. Some of the changes there. Matt Grill. When I quoted you in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide talking about your top 10 and how you have some of these top teams ranked, how high do you have Indiana, and do you have questions or concerns about Josh Hoover, the quarterback transfer from TCU?
You know, man, I think it's a really good transition for them. Here, of course, coming off of, Fernando Mendoza's great season. So I think it's going to fit in nicely for what Cignetti's doing there. And, we talked about this last week when you guys are off on the show, just saying that, this team was obviously no fluke at all last year. They were absolutely dominant, took out Ohio State, just ran through the CFP playoffs until that title game against Miami where, they had to stop them on that final drive, but, pretty comfortably that whole game. So I think they're going to keep it going. I've got them currently tied for second in my power ratings, Matt, and we spoke about this a couple weeks back. I've got Ohio State 1, Indiana tied at second with Notre Dame, with Oregon and Texas and Georgia closely following them. So I think those are the six separators right now. Texas Tech, we'll see what they're looking like a couple weeks in with their kind of offseason tumult. So those six or seven teams, though, I think are pretty far and away above from anyone else right now.
Yeah, that's something, Matt, we've talked about on this show quite a bit, is the seven teams that, the coaches poll put them in the top seven, your odds have them in the top seven. What team outside of the top seven? Because I believe that it kind of has, as you alluded to, that drop-off after Miami when it comes to who can win the national title. Is there a team after seven that maybe you're a little bit higher on than the market is? Is there a team that would maybe not shock you if they made a deep run in the playoff?
Yeah, I'd say Alabama, Tim. You know, the team is sitting there 25-1 right now for the Natty. You know, I like Kellen DeBoer a lot still as a coach. I think that the QB play that they're going to have coming in here is going to be an improvement over the past season. Of course, they're going to have to fix their run game. The run game has been just non-existent the last couple of years, especially last year. Also, getting Ryan Williams at wideout right again. You know, he really disappeared the last half of last year. So, but this team, you know, the talent is still there for the most part. It's weird to see them with a win total of just 8.5. But I don't think you'd be too surprised if they were to rise up to the cream of the top of the SEC again. You got to remember, this is a team that went into Athens last year and stopped Georgia's, I believe, like 30-game home winning streak. So it's still possible for them to get it done and win these big games. Of course, they were playing really poorly at the end of the season. You know, was lucky to catch Oklahoma in the CFP, got through them, and then just ran into that buzzsaw that's Indiana. So they're still getting there, but, you know, Alabama, I think everybody just kind of wrote them off a bit, but I wouldn't do so yet.
We saw Oklahoma and Alabama play a couple of big games last season. How do you feel about the Sooners? We had a guest on tonight who likes Oklahoma over 7.5 wins. That schedule is brutal. How high are you on the Sooners?
Yeah, you know, that's one we talked about last week, Matt, where I feel like I just see bets on them all day long, every day, to win the Natty, to win the SEC. It's going to be tough, like you just said. This win total is 7.5. So to get all the way to 10 wins again, which is probably what it's going to take to get to the CFP, that's going to be kind of a tall task. So I think that the committee is going to take a look at their schedule. If they do end up 9-3 with some really quality losses, you know, you had texted me earlier this week asking the odds of a 9-3 team to get in the playoff. Something we're going to look into for you guys. It'll be interesting if we actually see that happen. But I don't see it there with Oklahoma. I think the road is too tough. I know they're going to have healthy John Mateer, but I like some other teams ahead of them.
Once again, Matt Grill, DraftKings Sportsbook, joining us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. College football less than 4 weeks away. Week zero starts 3 weeks from this Saturday. You've got the yes-no college football playoff market up right now. Who are some of the teams that are getting hit on the yes side, and is there any teams getting hit on that no side, Matt?
Yeah, you know, Notre Dame right now, the shortest to make it at -800. So just taking a couple bets on them on the no, just because I think there's some people who think that if this team goes 10-2 again with this easy schedule, they're just not going to get an invite. But it's going to be the way it's set up now with the rules for the CFP, they just got to be top 12. So we'll be very surprised to see them miss it. You know, Texas Tech is one that's been kind of all over the place with the conference odds with the make CFP. So we'll see what happens there. I believe 200 right now in our book to make the CFP. One that I've been shortening up, though, lately is Miami, down to -280. Might end up hitting -300 or a little bit shorter here soon. So that's one that people have been keen on. And just want to bring up one more market, guys, because we kind of seem to talk about all the same teams and players every week. I just put up the Bear Bryant Coach of the Year odds today. So that's our fourth year doing it. A fun one that I like to price and put out there. So I got Mario Cristobal and Dan Lanning at the favorites is 8-1. Right behind them, we got Sark at 9-1 and Marcus Freeman at 9-1. So go check it out. It's a fun market we like to do every year.
You know, you mentioned week zero, UNLV Memphis, and some movement in that number. How about Hawaii Stanford? That's a game Tim and I are going to talk a lot about. You've had a little movement in that number, right?
Yeah, that one's creeping up. I think we opened 3. It's up to the 4, 4.5 range. Hawaii's had a couple injuries. I think they got an injury to a wideout that just was reported earlier this week. So, you know, Stanford, they were actually pretty competitive last year. This was a good game last year that really could have gone either way. So probably going to be a close one again. But, yeah, this one's been moving against the Rainbow Warriors just a bit in week zero.
All right, let's talk a little golf. Matt Grill, college football golf odds maker at DraftKings. Wyndham Championship this week. We're a week away from the playoffs. And I can't believe it, Matt Grill, but Cameron Young is the favorite in the tournament.
Yeah, went from being about a non-winner that we've bet about 30 times, Matt, at about 60-1 last year. And he got it done, his first win, and now he's sitting there as a favorite. Actually, 2 straight weeks now, about 10-1. He had that great round last week, the 9-under, but didn't do too much else. So this is one where you could really kind of look at the profile of the players, want to find the guys who are good. The irons are about 150 to 175 yards. I've been hearing the course is really soft this week. So I'm probably going with the smaller card, Matt. So I'm going to go with Ben Griffin at the top. of my card. He's got Carolina ties and it has three top 15s here. Ben Coles is a great player the last 2 months. We'll see if he can finally get it done. A guy who's kind of maybe would have been half the odds about 2 months ago, Rio Hisatsune, has a fifth place here like him. And Denny McCarthy quietly playing well. Also kind of fits the mold of the type of winner here. So a couple more to cap it off. Tom Kim, 1 year, 4 years ago, was his first win. And Alex Fitzpatrick, who's had a very solid summer. So, you know, those are all kind of similar players in a way. And that's my card for the Wyndham this week. Hopefully we can end the regular season with a win.
Matt, always appreciate the insight. Real quickly, one more college football note before we get out of here. North Carolina's run into a little bit of turmoil. What's the betting handle been like on UNC TCU in Dublin?
It's been good, Tim. So this is a fun rematch from last year. The TCU went into Chapel Hill and just handled them. So I think things are going to be a little bit better, maybe a little bit more organized at UNC this year. I mean, they've got nowhere to go but up. But this is one sitting at 6.5, so it should be another good one to kick off the season.
Matt, always appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, fellas.
There he is, Matt Grill, DraftKings Sportsbook, giving us his latest on college football.
I believe TCU won that matchup against Belichick 48-14 last year, right?
Yeah, it was a game that, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't UNC score on like the first play of the game, first offensive play of the game?
First
and everyone,
drive.
Oh! He's playing.
Belichick's
chess.
Playing chess.
Everyone else is playing checkers.
Yeah. By the way, the Cardinals have a rally. They had runners on second and third with one out. Yankees got a strikeout, and David Bednar comes in. Bases loaded for the Cardinals. Two outs. We'll see if the Yankees closer can get out of trouble.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A couple of big jams for the Yankees and the Cubs that they are able to get out of. Matt, let's update folks on hashtag Yankees update. Yankees, bases loaded, top of the eighth inning, but Boone to the bullpen.
Well, Boone made a good move. I give him credit because David Bednar has been probably the best closer in baseball over the past 2 months. Look at his numbers over the last couple months. I think better than Mason Miller, better than every closer in baseball. Bednar has been rock solid. Boone walked out to the mound. He's blowing bubbles.
Is he on seeds or bubbles today?
No, he was blowing bubbles.
He was bubbles today? Okay.
Bubble boy was blowing bubbles. He called for Bednar. Bednar comes in and he gets the strikeout. Which, you know, it's a good move. You need to win the game in the bottom of the eighth. Bring in your best guy. Don't save him for the ninth after you blow the lead. So I give Boone credit. He made the right move. And Bednar's just been so good the last couple months. So the Yankees get that strikeout. They get out of it. They have a 2-0 lead over the Cardinals. So the bullpen's going to do its job tonight, it looks like, for the Yankees. How about this start tonight for Assad of the Cubs? Two hits, one run over the first five innings. Yeah, he is going head-to-head with Skubal tonight.
Yeah, both pitchers have given up just two hits. Both have given up one home run, Matt. And he gets out of a jam with a man on third in the top of the fifth inning with Shohei Ohtani on deck. So they're able to get out of it, get the nine-hole hitter to ground out to end the inning there. We had mentioned this stat regarding Javier Assad at Wrigley. 20-9 straight up, 9-2 as an underdog. Dansby Swanson now will lead off the bottom of the fifth inning here, Matt. He's went yard off of Skubal in the bottom of the fifth inning. If you bet some Skubal props here tonight, update on that. Four strikeouts so far for Skubal through four innings. His over-under on strikeouts was 7.5. Dustin Sweetelson played the under on the 7.5 there. And right now, he has four strikeouts, so we'll see if Skubal is able to continue to rack those strikeouts up. He slowed down a little bit. Over-under on his outs tonight. It was 18 and a half. So will he record an out in the seventh inning? So far, 56 pitches through four innings for Skubal in his Dodgers debut.
I would say he's got a better chance to go over 18 and a half outs than he does 7.5 strikeouts. His pitch count's low right
now.
Yeah,
only 57.
Top of the fifth at 57. He's got a 1-1, 1-2 count here on Dansby Swanson, who did hit a 401-foot homer earlier in the game. We'll see if he can get him out this time. But pretty impressed with the Assad of the Cubs going head-to-head with Skubal and holding his own tonight. The 1-1 game at Wrigley in the fifth, and that's going to be fouled away.
Dodgers right now, $1.30 favorite over the Chicago Cubs, and the Cubs on that run line, +1.5, -190 here. So that was the bet that I made, +1.5 for the Cubs at +105. And if they're going to lose, let's lose this one in 9 innings. Let's not go to extra innings and have something
strikeout wacky
happen. And there is the fifth strikeout for Skubal as he strikes out Dansby Swanson on a breaking ball inside. So Skubal's been strong, ran into a little bit of trouble in the fourth inning, but ultimately was able to get out of a jam there as Dansby Swanson, who took him deep earlier in the game, strikes out on a breaking ball. Futures right now, the Dodgers +160 to win the World Series. Yankees 6-1. I'll ask you the question that we mentioned, that we said last night. Mm-hmm. And I got asked this today, doing a radio hit. Who could beat the Dodgers? I said, it's August 4th. I don't know.
I still think the Phillies. I think that they got the best shot.
Could this
Phillies have the offensive
Cubs
firepower?
Beat the Dodgers.
This Cubs team could too.
They're hot, man.
I know.
Now, the possibility is that the Cubs and Phillies, they could beat each other up potentially in that wild card round. So we'll see how it plays out as the season goes on. But still, lots of baseball to be played. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were always talking about the Dodgers not being able to get it done in the playoffs. They were one of the betting favorites, couldn't get it done. They win the COVID season, and now, of course, they've won back-to-back World Series. But, you know, you mentioned it last night. It was a fair point. The San Diego Padres had this Dodgers team on the ropes 2 years ago.
Big time. Big time. They're up 2-1 in the series.
And then last year, the Blue Jays had them in Game 7.
Yep.
So it's baseball, man. Baseball, Susan, as you like to say.
Last game seven, last year, Bo Bichette hits a three-run shot off Shohei Ohtani. What was that, in the third inning? Knocks Ohtani out of the game, and looks like the Blue Jays are going to win game seven, right? Dude, you're not going to blow a three-run lead at home too often, especially Mad Max. Max Scherzer started game seven, and he pitched well.
Yeah.
And it looked like two or three times the Blue Jays were going to win that game, and the Dodgers pulled it out of the fire, and just like they did that series against the Padres the previous year. So it's never as easy as it looks in baseball. I know right now a lot of people are portraying the Dodgers as an invincible team. I don't believe that to be the case, even though on paper the starting rotation looks about as good as it gets in baseball over the past 25 years. It's just a weird sport, Tim, where if your lineup goes cold for a few days, your season could be over just like that, and that could happen. It's about who gets hot at the right time. You know, we talk a lot about the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
The best team does not always win the NCAA tournament. It's just a team, a lot of times, it's a team that gets hot. Now, this year, Michigan was the best team, but a lot of times it's about the team that gets hot at the right time. Do you think UConn was the second best team in college basketball?
No,
but UConn got hot at the right time.
Sure did, yeah. And by the way, did you see that bizarre story about Luke Murray?
Yeah.
Luke Murray, who is now a longtime head assistant at UConn, thought to be kind of a basketball savant, of course, the son of Bill Murray. He's now the head coach of Boston College and reportedly fired the broadcast team because he wanted no one associated with the previous regime. What a bizarre story.
I don't think he could personally fire him. I think he had
tell the administration.
He told somebody else to fire him, but you know, he's going to be a control freak, right?
Yeah,
there are guys like that, and I think Luke Murray's going to be. I'm sure he learned a few things from Danny Hurley along the way.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out. Coming up, bottom of the hour, Matt. Steve Mackinnon took a look at some teams based off of his system to look at their win totals, and we're going to hit on that. But I wanted just to go through some of the bets that are in the guide. And, you know, we talked about them on the show, but let's bring them to light here. Fresno State over 6.5 wins, Michigan under 8.5 wins. Two best bets that you wrote up for the guide. We'll start with Michigan. Why do you think Michigan under 8.5 is a good look for a win total?
Yeah, this is like the fourth time on VSiN in the last 3 days I've talked about this. I think people are getting tired of me talking about it.
At so different
I'll
hours.
Keep it brief. But I really feel like the Michigan talent level has fallen off since the Jim Harbaugh era, the Sherrone Moore mistake, right? And if you watched Michigan last year, Tim, you and I were doing that podcast together every week. I was betting against Michigan a lot because you could tell that coaching staff was doing nothing with Bryce Underwood, the freshman quarterback. He was regressing. As the season went along, you would expect the young quarterback to get better. He was getting worse. He was obviously not getting coached. While the Kyle Whittingham hire, I believe, is a great one for Michigan, but at the same time, Whittingham has lost a little off his fastball. I think you and I talked about this last year. He had a couple of dubious game management decisions, right? Mm-hmm. The kind of stuff you didn't see from Kyle Whittingham in the past. The last couple of years, I could tell he lost his edge. I still think he's going to be a great hire. But the bottom line is, to me, the Michigan talent level has dropped off. The Big Ten is loaded at the top. Michigan's got to play on the road against Oregon and Ohio State. Not going to win those two games. Your win total's 8.5. So how are you going to get to 9? Wolverines also have home games against Oklahoma, Indiana, Iowa, and Penn State. To me, it looks like 7-5, maybe 8-4 would be the best case scenario. Now, the price on this win total keeps going up. Sure. It's gone up over the past month. I still think he is. Delay the juice, bet under 8.5. I don't see how this team gets to 9.
Yeah, you look at that schedule, Matt. It's one of the more challenging schedules in college football. And it's a revenge spot, week 2 against Oklahoma. I think that's big noon kickoff there against the Sooners. But, yeah, you mentioned it. Iowa at home. Minnesota could be a tricky game on the road on October 3rd, like you alluded to. Look at the back end of the schedule at Oregon, at Ohio State. Michigan State is a team that is probably going to be down this year with Pat Fitzgerald there. But I would agree with that. I did like Jay Hill bringing him in from BYU to be their defensive coordinator. And, you know, the question that I'm curious about, Matt, is it that Beck and Whittingham, Beck is the offensive coordinator, didn't want Devin Dampier to come with them, which would be not great for my guy Devin Dampier at Utah, or were they told, you got to fix Bryce Underwood?
They were told you got to fix Underwood because you paid him $12 million.
Right.
So I don't think they really had the option to bring Dampier to Michigan.
By the way, the Cubs get a double play as Javier Assad continues to pitch quite well. Top of the sixth inning, Wrigley Field, got ourselves quite the pitcher's duel. Dodgers, Cubs, 1-1 right now. Update from Yankee Stadium. Yankees trying to shut out the Cardinals.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. We'll get into some of Steve Mackinnon's best bets as written in the College Football Betting Guide as he takes a look at some win totals, some overs, some unders, and documented. It's been pretty successful these past couple of years, especially on the unders. But Matt, we got a game trying to come to a conclusion at Yankee Stadium, top 9, Yankees 2-0 lead.
David Bednar in from the bullpen to try to close it out. He came in at the bottom of the eighth, got a big out with bases loaded. Bednar has made Aaron Boone look good because he's been the one guy at the end of the bullpen. That's going to be strike three, game over. Yankees 2-0 final. Bednar does it again. Man, I'm not sure he's been scored upon. Maybe he's allowed one run. Over his last 20 outings, this guy has been untouchable. So, obviously, the Yankees needed to win tonight, and they get it. Not a lot of offense, only 5 hits, but a 2-0 win in the Bronx. And good to see George Lombard up in his first game at shortstop, hit a homer tonight for the Yankees.
Matt, we head to the bottom of the sixth. Skubal versus Assad, and Assad's night over after 5 2/3.
He was great, though.
Very good outing. They go to the bullpen. Max Muncy strikes out to end the top of the sixth. So right now, the Cubs actually a ever so slight favorite in this game at -108. That total down to 5.5. Last night, very different than what we've seen tonight, as the ball was flying out of Wrigley Field a night ago. Tonight, not so much. We did see Kyle Tucker homer in the top of the second inning against his former team, but Dansby Swanson went yard bottom of the third. Skubal, 5 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Very efficient, though. 65 pitches so far for Skubal. Over-under was 18.5 for outs recorded. Certainly trending towards the over. Strikeouts, we'll see. That was over-under 7.5, juice to the under. He's got 5 Ks through 5.
Yeah, I think he's going to probably get through 7, don't you?
Seeming that way right now. Very efficient so far. Has been impressive in this one. Matt, I want to get
it. Dodgers, by the way, on a 4-game losing streak. You're not going to see that too often, but Skubal trying to stop that tonight.
Now, maybe it's not fair to judge him based off of this start because it is in Coors Field, but Freddie Peralta has been was a disaster with the Mets for what they gave up to get him from the Milwaukee Brewers, a trade, excuse me, that the Brewers obviously won. He gets traded from New York to Tampa, and he just gave up a 3-run homer. So Freddie Peralta in his Rays debut hasn't even made it through 3 innings yet, Matt. 5 runs on 6 hits for Freddie Peralta. 5-5, Rays and Rockies right now.
Yeah, that's when not all these trade deadline moves turn out to be great ones, right? Sometimes it's a wrong move. Sometimes it backfires. And Freddie Peralta to Tampa Bay, a little roll of the dice that might not work out for the Rays.
Yeah, I was. There was some chatter, hey, would the Brewers go and get him back?
Why would you really want him?
He pitched at AmFam in Milwaukee right before the deadline. He was a disaster. Yeah. I'm like, I don't think they want him back. And they didn't go and get him. By the way, speaking of those Brewers, they do have one of their acquisitions, Senzatella, from the Colorado Rockies in out of the bullpen right now. Top of the seventh inning, Brewers leading 4-2. So, once again, the Brewers made a couple of minor moves, nothing too earth-shattering, and they have currently in out of the bullpen Antonio Senzatella from the Colorado Rockies making his debut. Strong outing for Logan Henderson, Matt. He struck out 8 over 6 innings. Right now, the Brewers have a 4-2 lead. Pete Crow Armstrong going to lead off the inning here for the Chicago Cubs. Right now, looking at the live number, it is a true pick'em between the Dodgers and the Cubs. Bottom of the sixth inning with Skubal back out there. And once again, you mentioned it a bunch of times. Javier Assad, man, tip your cap to him. He was great tonight.
He went toe-to-toe with Skubal, and you might even say he outpitched him.
5 2/3.
He's not going to stay in the game longer, though. We'll see what Skubal can do here to if he can keep this a tie game or give the Dodgers a chance to take a lead. But very impressed what he did. We talked about his underdog trend tonight. You took the Cubs +1.5, +105. So hopefully if the Cubs do lose this game, they lose it by 1 run.
By the way, quickly going back to the Rays-Rockies game, failed to mention this, Matt. So Freddie Peralta is pitching tonight.
Strikeout.
For, yes, Skubal has had his way with PCA. So PCA got a base hit in his second at-bat, but 2 strikeouts for Skubal against PCA. But Liam Hicks acquired from the Rays from the Marlins, and he hit a grand slam tonight in his debut. So some good, some bad so far tonight with the acquisitions the Rays acquired. So bottom of the sixth inning, Skubal still in there. 69 pitches so far in this one for Tarik Skubal. All right, Matt, the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, as we've mentioned all week, is out right now. You can get it over at VSiN.com for as little as $9.99, 345 pages, boys and girls. It is a must acquire this time of year. And Steve Mackinnon, as he pointed out.
That's a steal, by the way.
I agree.
$9.99 for this publication? Has Bill 80 lost his mind?
I think he has. I think he's out of...
Can't give away the store.
He must be out of town because there's no way Bill would have the price at $9.99. So $9.99, get it while you can before Bill realizes how cheap that price is. $9.99, VSiN.com.
I bought some other college football magazines at Barnes & Noble. A lot of these magazines cost, what?
Upwards of 20 bucks?
15 to 25 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some out there that are quite pricey. But Steve Mackinnon always has his systems, and an interesting one for him on college football win totals. We'll go through a couple of them here, and some of them you and I have actually bet, and we're on the same side, so that's always a positive. But this is how Mackinnon opens up his breakdowns of his 14 win totals.
14.
After going through the coaching changes, the stability scores, the transitional systems, the recruiting rankings, playing out the schedule by my power ratings, I've locked in on my team season win total bets that I'll be making. My overall record the past 4 years, 57-42-2, that's 57.6%, and highlighted by 34-17-1 to the unders. Quick update. We've got a double off the wall by Alex Bregman in the bottom of the sixth. So two men in scoring position, Bregman off the right field wall, and the Cubs trying to take their lead of the night.
Watch this play by Kyle Tucker.
Is it misplayed?
This is terrible.
Oh,
come
yeah.
on. Oof. He was afraid of the wall. He slowed down.
He should know. He's played there. Come on.
That's a horrible defensive play. Can't be afraid of the wall right there. You got to know where you are. That's obviously a double for Bregman, but if you're pitching, you got to be up.
Bregman slowed up. He thought he was going to make the catch.
I thought he was going to make the catch, too.
So a bit of fortune there. Kyle Tucker, homered already today, but misplayed a ball there in right field. Yeah. So now men on second and third can Scooble get out of the jam here against Michael Bush in the bottom of the sixth inning.
Well, he's got a lefty-on-lefty matchup, so this favors Scooball here. All right, let's get back to Steve Mackinnon.
Mackinnon, a couple of win totals here, Matt. He's got some overs. He's got some unders. And we're just going to hit on a couple of them. We're not going to hit on all of them. A common play you and I have with Steve Mackinnon, Fresno State over 6.5 wins.
Okay.
Fresno State surprised me last season by exceeding expectations with head coach Matt Entz in his first year. You and I talked to Coach Entz. We were really impressed by him. The average improvement of the group that didn't drop off was a winning percentage of 15%, ATS rise of 6.7%, with all of the pieces coming back. 13 starters coming back for Fresno State. By the way, this will be a out at home. Infield drawn in, and I think that was a poor decision by the Cubs to get too aggressive to send Seiya Suzuki from third. Craig Counsell is, I guess, trying to see if the...
They're not going to challenge. No. He's out. That was not even close. I don't mind being aggressive there because maybe he doesn't make a perfect throw to home and put the pressure on the defense to make a mistake.
Suzuki tries to get his hand in. No, that's a good tag. Yeah, he's out. Just lift the ball into the outfield. We get a sack fly, but instead he grounds out with the infield drawn in. So...
Yeah, nice job by Scooble there, too, though, to get the ground ball from the left-handed hitter.
Nico Horner going to try to be the hero in the bottom of the sixth inning against Scooble. Men on first and third after a fielder's choice gets Seiya Suzuki thrown out at home in the bottom of the sixth inning.
All right, so he's got Fresno State over 6.5.
Another team he has over was a bet that I made. I didn't write it up for the guide because it had moved to 8.5. Was Kansas State over 7.5. A lot of this was based off of the schedule.
Right.
You've got a transition at the head coaching position with Chris Kleiman announcing his retirement. We'll see with Colin Klein coming in as a first-time head coach here, Matt. But if you look at the schedule for Kansas State, they avoid the three big dogs, Utah, BYU, and Texas Tech.
We'll talk a little bit more about that after the timeout, but I would say K-State, I could play over 7.5. I am not playing over 8.5.
I would not, and that's why I didn't write it up for Scooball the guide. Is this going to be? Woo-hoo.
Wow, Cubs going to take a 2-1 lead on an infield grounder. How about that?
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We'll get you updated on what unfolded just a moment ago at Wrigley Field as the Cubs take the lead. But Matt, preseason football starts this week. Time to book your trip to Vegas. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere. One trip to Vegas, play all season long. Schedule your appointment now. WinnerCircleProxy.com. And Matt, the proxies still lined up late, working late with the Bet Bashers in town. I mean, imagine it's going to be a very busy week for a lot of proxy services.
Proxy is going to be like surgeons. They're going to be on call this month because this is the biggest month of the year for sign-ups for the proxies, and you can find them in the Circus Sportsbook every night.
All right, Matt, let's update on our game of the night. As right before we went to break, we saw Seiya Suzuki get thrown out at home on a ground ball off the bat of Michael Busch. Next up was Nico Horner. And, you know, in the box score, it says RBI single, Matt. It was a little jam shot that just landed in no man's land between Scooble and the second baseman. And that allowed a run to score 2-1. Cubs have the lead in the top of the seventh inning right now against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Cubs just a very slight favorite at -109. Never safe against this Dodgers lineup.
Yeah, I said infield grounder, but it was a high hopper. I think it hit the plate, didn't it?
Let me update that number, by the way, real quickly. It was -197. My board hadn't adjusted yet, so that makes more sense. Cubs, -$1.97 favorites right
now. Okay, yeah, makes more sense. That was a high hopper. I think the ball might have hit the plate, and by the time the Dodgers were able to field it, they had no play, and the Cubs take a 2-1 lead. Mookie Betts at the plate here to lead off the top of the seventh.
Question right now is you're looking at some of the props for Scooble. Scooble over under 7.5 strikeouts, over under 18.5 outs. He has recorded 18 outs, 6 strikeouts, 85 pitches so far. Does he come out for the bottom of the seventh inning in his Dodgers debut, or do they go to the bullpen?
Well, I think he comes out. 85 pitches is still a pretty low number. But you're going to be sweating this out if you bet that prop on Scooball outs at 18.5 because he's sitting on 18.
Ryan Rolison right now in out of the bullpen. He came in to relieve Javier Assad, who was great tonight. 5 2/3, 1 run on 4 hits, 3 strikeouts, and 2 walks. So a very strong performance tonight for Assad in his start tonight as we will get a ground out here off the bat of Mookie Betts to Dansby Swanson. Matt, we haven't updated this game in a while because it's a blowout, but how about the Red Sox tonight? Holy smokes. 14-2 against the Chicago White Sox. 6 runs in the first inning always are helpful en route to a blowout as the Red Sox are going to improve to 61-51. Just hard to believe.
Is it possible the Red Sox have the most wins in baseball in the month of July and in the month of August?
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, this was a team, as many of you know, but this was a team that was sitting there at 29-43 on June 18th.
I think Chris Massaro was tweeting every night, sell the team, you losers. That motivated the Red Sox, apparently.
They are, assuming they win tonight, Matt, they're about to go 32-8 over their last 40 games.
I think they would be 22-3 over the last 25. It's just crazy.
Yeah, the run that they are on right now. Update from Arizona, the San Diego Padres, a team that was busy at the deadline. They got hot at the right time, and they decided to make some moves. They have started things off with a Manny Machado RBI double. So the Padres up 1-0 last night. The San Diego Padres did fall to the Arizona Diamondbacks, but a 1-0 lead for the Padres, top of the first inning, as Jackson Merrill steps to the plate here with a man on second and in the top of the first inning. So the Padres, are they a team that could find their way, sneak into the postseason and get a little frisky, Matt? Right now, the San Diego Padres are two games back of the Diamondbacks for that final wild card spot.
I don't really see it. Michael Tucker or Kyle Tucker grounds out of here. Dodgers got nothing going in the top of the seventh. Padres, if they get to the playoffs, Tim, I think it's going to be a short stay. I really don't think the Padres have a lot of potential in the playoffs.
Matt, I'm going to rattle through a couple more of these win totals, and we'll just do kind of a quick hitter on these. These are courtesy of Steve Mackinnon. More overs. He likes Boise State over 7.5 wins.
By the way, we need to point out that Steve Mackinnon has 14 overs and 14
and 15
unders. 15 unders. He's got 29 win total plays in this guide.
It's a machine. But Matt, you wrote up the Pac-12. You like Fresno State over. What do you make of Boise State this year?
I'm not crazy about Boise, and Maddox Mattson took a step back last season. In fact, he wasn't very good at all at the end of last season. I think the talent level's down a little bit at Boise. And I understand Boise being the favorite in the Pac-12. I think you have to make Boise the starting point when you draw the odds board for the Pac-12. But it's not going to surprise me if Fresno wins this conference. And I don't think Boise is as good or as strong as it has been in recent seasons. Boise really was not that good last year.
No. They did win the Mountain West, but the Mountain West – if New Mexico had made it to the championship game, I think that would have been a pretty challenging championship game. Instead, it was UNLV. Speaking of which, Mackinnon likes over on UNLV. I tell you what, we heard from Matt Grill earlier this hour, Matt. There's some buzz behind this UNLV team. Are you buying in on the hype of the UNLV Rebels this year?
I don't know yet. I've got to see Jackson Arnold play a little bit, and I'm not going to bet the win total for the Rebels. I mean, you got to be careful and not believe all the hype.
I'll tell you what, I'll just say this real quickly, man. UNLV's start to the season, I know there's steam on them in week zero. They play a top-end AAC team at home, and then they got to go to Hawaii to take on the Rainbow Warriors. That is a very challenging start to the season. And oh, by the way, before they get back into Mountain West play, they take on Cal October 3rd here at Allegiant Stadium, Matt. They have a tricky schedule there. So I understand the love regarding UNLV, and Dan Mullen's done a good job with talent acquisition. But you're right about Jackson Arnold, and I'm not ready to hand them the reins to the Mountain West with Boise State leaving.
Also, the Rebels have to play at New Mexico late in the season.
Sure do.
I think New Mexico's got to be your favorite in the Mountain West, even though I believe the media picked UNLV as a favorite. I make New Mexico a slight favorite. And, you know, it's interesting. UNLV plays a tougher non-conference schedule than Indiana does.
Yeah, they do. Tell you what, you're going to find out a lot about the Group of Six representative. How about Memphis plays at UNLV, then they go to Boise in week two. So we're going to find out a lot. There's some fascinating P6 games. All right, a couple of unders we'll rattle through here, Matt. UConn under 5.5. I played under 6.5. I think Jason Candle is a very overrated coach. He did less with more at Toledo. Look at the numbers, how many times he lost as a favorite. Jim Mora Jr., he was a miracle worker. What he did at UConn, big reason why I like Colorado State over their win total. I played under UConn. I don't love it at 5.5. Played under 6.5. Speaking of Memphis, Steve Mackinnon played under 7.5. Matt, how about the mass exodus at Iowa State with Matt Campbell leaving to go to Penn State? A lot of hype around Penn State this year with Campbell bringing, what did you say, 23, I believe it was, players to Penn State?
It's definitely more than 20. Let's put it that way. Iowa State, the cupboard's kind of bare. Under 5.5 for Mackinnon, I would agree with that. It's interesting, too. He played Nebraska under 6.5. I believe last year Nebraska was a win total play for you.
It was. And, Matt, how many straight years have they gone under their win total?
I think it's about 10.
I think it's 10. They did not get there. I have to double check. I think I went 7-1 on win totals last year. Nebraska, my lone loser. North Texas, Matt, talking about mass exodus. How about the Mean Green? Everybody's gone to Oklahoma State. He likes under 5.5. And then transitioning from the FCS to the FBS, your newest member of the Mid-American Conference, Matt, Sacramento State, under 4.5 for Steve Mackinnon. We're not going to give away all of them. You got to check it out for yourself. VSiN.com/guide. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out right now. Matt's top 50. Thanks in part to Paul Stone. We've got best bets galore. We've got breakdowns of every single team in college football, all 138 of them. So check it out. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out right now. Matt, it is 2-1 as it is time to stretch at Wrigley Field. The Cubs have a 2-1 lead over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Great one tonight in our game of the night.